Innovation, disruption, and big issues. This is Business Game Changers with Sarah Westall.
Welcome to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall. Today we are going to continue our conversation with Azeli Dato on the situation in Haiti. She continues on talking about the narrative that why the Democrats get away with more than the Republicans and why it seems to be worse under the Democrats and the Republicans. It's not that any one party is better. It's that the Democrats get away with it because they're not challenged. And that's what she's in the middle of explaining here when we restart this conversation. This is a continuation of the interview that we did last week with her. If you did not see the first part of this interview, you can always go to my website at sarahwestall.com and see that first part of that interview. Also, I want to remind you of my Patreon account. I'm slowly getting people to support my show, which is really, really welcomed. I need that to keep the show going and to fund what it costs to air my program. So if you could please support it, it's Sarah Westall at patreon.com. You just go to patreon.com and then just it's under my name, Sarah Westall, and you will find it. So let's get into the interview now with Azeli Dato.
The narrative says that they're more into social justice. They're more into workers. That's the narrative, and because of that narrative, they just get away with more. That's why.
And to be fair, they might be on the grassroots level, but not when we're talking about the big strategic moves.
Certainly not in they have no difference in the political arena. During the Kosovo War, for instance, I think that was 1999. It was the right wing that opposed that war, not the left. It was like the libertarians and folks.
That's what's going on right now with a lot of things.
That, exactly.
Because the right is really against the war in Syria. We're really against a lot of things. I'm saying we because I think I don't know what I am. Because yeah. I always thought I was, you know, left, far left almost when it came to yeah. civil rights and all these other things. Now I'm like, maybe I'm far right. I don't know. That's why I'm independent. Because I just want everybody. I'm a humanist. But I don't like all this crap the government's putting on us.
Exactly. See, so right now the Democrats is the war party. Totally, without a question, at a point in this election in 2016, I run the Esley Network, and I said, listen, we've got to do something. We this Democratic Party, because Obama was so awful. He was awful in Libya, caused the death of so many black folks, caused the death of so many folks in Yemen, Somalia. Expanded AFRICOM.
Why was he so much worse than a normal, what we had normally? You know what I mean? He was supposed to be this beacon of hope.
I think he is he was the Manchurian candidate. I think that,
he did, to be fair, he at least put an image on Black Power, which is great because that crap, people are humans and we should all look at people for character. Mm-hmm. But maybe this is good too. Black people can be bad too. They're not all pro-black. You got to look at the character.
This is one of the days I will call myself a minority voice. I mean, a minority. I am a minority voice, even in the black community, with regards to Barack Obama. The reason people who are on the Democratic plantation, I say, black folks, it's kind of a, I don't know, it's the media, it's Hollywood, it's what they are brainwashed to believe. Instead of like looking at really what's going on, they go and they're herded into these kind of narrative, the official narrative. When Obama came into office in Haiti, for instance, we had the Trump, and Clinton. I had had, you know, the first coup d'etat, then the return to re-image everybody into George Soros civil society so that they can slowly bring back dictatorship. Then we had another second coup d'etat. So by the time Obama came, it was like, oh my God, maybe he'll be different. Even though I said I didn't know this America. I didn't know this America he was supposed to be representing. I just don't know that America at all. I know the America that mass incarcerates. I know the America that didn't let the veterans from both wars have any rights. I know the America that redlines. I know that America. I didn't know that America he was supposed to represent, but I was happy to try to meet it. And so I did cast a vote for Obama in 2008. But within 6 months, just like with Trump right now, okay, I haven't said too much yet on Trump because I'm going to give him the opportunity to, we don't have any choice. He is still anti-war. And that's really important for the planet right now.
Yes.
And I wish people would really understand that. I mean, really understand that. Because if we had had Miss Hillary Clinton in the White House, we probably would have already been in World War III. But with regards to Obama, I think the reason the black community is so oppressed, the masses are so oppressed. I'm not talking about the overseers. I'm not talking about the Hollywood or the Oprahs or folks who they use as the free men. I'm talking about the masses of the black folks. There's a war against black folks in America, just like there's a war against black folks in Haiti. And the war against black folks in America criminalized them to then feed them into the mass incarceration process. And, the deep state is winning on both sides, right? They're bringing in the drugs, putting them into the black community, and then they arrest the young guys and put them in the prison, and then they get to lose all their civil rights.
Mass incarceration is absolute national shame, and I've done a few shows on it. We have, it's not just mass incarceration, we have major issues in our child welfare system. 57% of children are reported to child services before the age of 18, or by the age of 18, and of black children, 36% of non-black children percent. It's bad across the board. 36% is way too high, but 57%. But 57% is that high because we have so many black men in prison. It's destroying the communities. We have so many issues, and if we cared about putting America first, we'd start to fix our foundational issues. We can't thrive as a country if we can't love our communities, and loving our communities doesn't mean mass incarceration. I'm sorry. You can't say that you care about America unless you love all the communities of America. We're all one big community. But go ahead. I had to get on my soapbox.
No. I mean, you're absolutely right, and I absolutely agree with you. But what they did to America from the 90s, right? And this was under Mr. Clinton, right? So it had started, of course, under Reagan and so on. But the war on drugs and the war on terror, the war on all of this stuff, is created to get the same result that we had back in, the 1500s and the 1600s. It's really to maintain and keep people at a certain level. And these tiny families, where the Rothschilds, the Banksters, the Bank of International Settlement controls everything. And they basically privatized the U.S. government now to be, let's say, the Clintons. Like, that's what the Clintons did in Haiti, right? They had the Clinton Foundation, which was a pay for play money laundering scheme, right?
And can you go into detail a little bit about this? Because I've had
people on the left just blast me saying it's been debunked. And I'm like, no, it hasn't. I mean, I had Bradley Birkenfeld, who was the highest paid whistleblower in the country, tell me specifically what Clinton was doing behind the scenes with the Swiss bank to allow drug traffickers and traffickers in, and some just horrible things. And I want you to get into it in detail. People need to realize this stuff happened. It's not just a narrative and PR crap to make the Democrats look bad. We should get beyond that. This happened, and we just can't let this stuff happen. So can you go into detail on what she did or what the Clinton initiative was?
That's right. So when Obama became president, Hillary Clinton was his Secretary of State in 2008. Then at that time, there was a tsunami that had happened, and Bill Clinton was just coming from being the UN special envoy to that tsunami. So he had great experience. And I never understood why the US media never looked at what happened during that tsunami so that they can compare it to what he might do in Haiti. So he was named, Bill Clinton was named UN special envoy right before the earthquake, and his job was essentially to sell more ways of oppression to the American people for Haiti, but to make as if like he's this big philanthropist. But what they did, what they essentially did, is by the time Barack Obama was out of office, Haiti had lost 30% of its lands. That has never happened. And that happened under a Democratic black president. What he did was, in order to get the Clintons, his biggest rivals, out of his hair during the 8 years, he just ceded Haiti to them.
And he used them as a bargaining chip.
Yeah, he just ceded this country to them. And that's what they used to enrich themselves. The old 8 years, this was their platform. What Haitians call the Hillary and Bill Fund was the earthquake fund. And it came to, there are 193 member nations at the UN. When the earthquake happened, and there is evidence, Russia and Venezuela said that the earthquake was created. You all can go ahead and Google that. Putin said it, and so did Chavez. They talked about HAARP. Obviously, Haitians were fighting really hard to get rid of the UN. I run the Free Haiti movement, so I know. We were dying, but we were fighting, and I've lost many, 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 many people. But then the earthquake came and just cut us. Within 33 seconds, we lost 310,000 people, and everything you ever knew just fell down. It's on there that you didn't have the Clintons come to do what they did, which was create this Haiti Interim Recovery Commission that took all power away from the Haitian parliament, put it into the hand of this sovereign bill at the UN. And then he proceeded to say to the world that he was collecting money to rebuild Haiti back better. Okay? Was Haiti rebuilt back better? It's now 2017. That was 7 years ago.
Well, my understanding is he got billions, and then what happened to that money?
That's right. So they collected 10 point something, 10 billion, over 10 billion at the UN. And for the first time in history, the UN has its own banker. The United States brought their own banker so that they can you all know about all of the various frauds people are talking about the World Bank. He brought in the World Bank. And so they said that it was the UN was collecting the money for Haiti. The depositor was the World Bank. And then at USAID, run by Secretary Hillary Clinton, they raised something like $3.2 billion for Haiti earthquake. So it was like, let's say almost, let's say $13 billion altogether. The two Clintons had their hands in control of for Haiti. Now, this is not counting private private non-for-profits or other NGOs. For instance, the Red Cross. The Red Cross raised $500 million. It said it was going to build housing, and it only built something like 7 permanent housing.
But a total of like 7 on my counting on my hands.
That's right.
And it raised with $500 million in a poor country where they could have made a whole bunch of houses for that. Okay.
Okay, that was the Red Cross. Obama's had his first sort of bipartisan success with Haiti because he was having some problems right when he came in, and then the earthquake happened, and he named both Bill Clinton and George W. Bush, to a Haiti fund, and I think they raised $30,000. $33 million. So there was the Haiti. So Clinton was in charge of so many different funds in Haiti. The big one was the UN one, where they raised $10 billion. Then he was co-head of the Bush-Clinton fund that was put together by Obama on behalf of the United States. And they raised $33 billion together. Then he was head of a particular, I think it was like $20 million. He got together with Carlos Slim, the richest man in Mexico, another drug person, another trafficking, all sorts of things run behind shadow this man. But him and Bill Clinton came into Haiti, and they raised a $30 million fund. And they had with them someone really important, Frank Guistra, who is the guy that everybody talks about, the Uranium One deal, that they did with Russia.
Well, we sold 30% of our uranium to Russia. He's the guy. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So he came into Haiti with Bill Clinton, and their whole purpose was to take over the gold belt in Haiti in the north. Haiti has, they say something like $20 billion in gold. They say it's the most gold that's still left, you know, after Columbus came in, you know, that was the whole point of the slavery and all of that stuff, but they couldn't get it out of the mountains, but they now can because they have the technology. The gold belt is up in the north of Haiti, nowhere near where the earthquake is. The earthquake was in Port-au-Prince in the capital, in Léogâne, right? But Bill and Hillary Clinton built their flagship reconstruction, building back Haiti better in the north. It's called Caracol, and it's only 9 miles away from the gold belt. Okay, so that's one of the things they did. And at some point in time, Hillary's brothers, they would go to the Clinton Foundation meetings. They would get...
So, okay, so no hospitals, no medicines, no all, you know, nursing and doctors and things that they needed to survive, no food, all that stuff.
They built a hospital in the north where nowhere near the earthquake was. And it wasn't them that built it. It was Paul Farmer. He is Haiti is what they call the Republic of NGOs. Right.
So basically, let me just get this straight. If they would have just got out of the way and did nothing, they were so evil because they took advantage of a horrible situation. Good people sent them money. And if somebody else would have went in there who was well-meaning, so many people wouldn't have died.
If they had let Haitians do it, we could have done it. But they didn't. Only 2% of the money ever went to the Haitian government. All the money that was raised went back to Washington Beltway consultant companies. That's why we say that U.S. foreign aid and U.S. is money laundering for political donors, you know. So essentially, this is what they do, right? They'll give a no bid contract and give all kinds of USAID money to DynCorp or to some other private military security company, to some other, you know, McCain group, to some other USAID or mission director. Most Americans don't understand how their government works and how these people go from like the energy sector, the pharmaceutical sector, and all of a sudden they're in government, and then they're back into the pharmaceutical center, and then they're back into government, and then they have these not-for-profits that are just every aid to Haiti. That's what Americans have to understand. When they say that they're giving aid to Haiti, like billions, like these $13 billion, they're taking the money from their right hand and they're putting it in their left hand. And that's what they're doing. 93% of that money stays in Washington. 93% of that money stays in their hands. It doesn't go to Haiti. Listen, they gave, not only did they cover up taking this money, and they do it really slick. This is what the Democrats have over the Republicans. The way they're able to get away with this, they'll use Hollywood, what I call colonial celebrityism. So they'll bring in Sean Penn, who they hated because of he was Baghdad Penn. But in Haiti, you know, they gave him the army gave him some award, and he was running around talking about how he was, you know, going to do X, Y, and Z for the Haitians. Now, we're the ones that built the citadels. I don't know if you've ever gone to the Citadel. It's like this amazing space. But we need Sean Penn for a tent. But that's what they do. They use the Democrats are able to use Hollywood better than, let's say, the Republicans. So they use these Hollywood surrogates, who I call useful idiots, people like Sean Penn or Wyclef Jean. And they put a front on terror and the genocide that's going on. So the Clintons raised all this money. They did not build Haiti back better, but worse, okay, is that they changed Haiti's constitution. In 2004, when Aristide was taken out the second time, he was a duly democratically elected government. And the Haitian people, we don't have the Electoral College, so it's direct vote. So the people could directly vote. The masses could directly go and they vote for the president. In these intervening years, since the 13 year, in this last 13 years, with UN occupation in Haiti, they made our electoral process the way the US electoral process is. In America, only 20% of the voters actually vote. In Haiti now, that's what it is. Whereas before, 93% of the voters actually voted for the president. They suppressed the vote by all kinds of machinations. And because they really don't want the voice of the people. They want the voice of the elite. They want the voice of the banksters, the voice of the of those transnational corporations that control everything. What I call Monsieur Let's Hoard It All. They just want to hold everything. And so for them, Haiti's iridium is theirs. Haiti's oil is theirs. Haiti's gold is there. Haiti's copper is theirs. Haiti's deep water port is there. They want to make Haiti a transshipment center to bring in big Panama stuff. So because in America, you have environmental laws that prevents certain types of you know, oil and transshipment spaces to, you know, they want to use Haiti for that. And that's why they took the north. They took Fort Liberté. They signed all on. Oh, in addition to creating the Haiti Reconstruction Commission, which essentially control this fund and decided who to give money to, and the Haitian people had nothing to say about it, Bill and Hillary Clinton created, my goodness. So in addition to that, they they brought us cholera the same year that we got the earthquake. You know, I know you know that. So I forgot what I was just about to say, but what they did was they created a situation where Haitians have no say in their government. And the reason they did that was in 2010, when everything had fallen down on us, and when I lost about 60 members of the Haitian Lawyers Leadership Network in Haiti. And I spent like that whole year looking for people, burying people that we found, just trying to, we were just not there. I wasn't there for years. I don't even know if I'm here now. But it was so terrible. But Bill and Hillary Clinton said to us while we were dealing with this trauma that the most important thing in the world was for us to go to elections. And we said, no, we couldn't even think of elections, but they wanted to control the electoral process that they hadn't been able to control since Aristide. So Bill and Hillary Clinton in 2010 put in Michel Martelly. In addition to suppressing our vote, as I said, in various ways, right? Like Haiti has no electricity. They have computer voting. They had all kinds of things and ways that will distance the people from what we had before. So we went for them direct democracy to this rigged elections. And in this rigged election in 2010, a carnival, really gross man named Michel Martelly, who was a Tonton Macoute. I hope your people know who Tonton Macoute is. They were like the part of the death squad during the Duvalier era. He was a carnival king. He was, and they tend to form these people for a while. Because when I went back to Haiti, for instance, in 1994, was the first time I went back to Haiti since I was a child. Michel Martelly was a carnival king. And this is how music hypnotizes people. That's what I had left in 96. That's what I had left in the music industry. But when I got to Haiti in 96, because I knew how important music was subconsciously and the messages that are constantly given to people, they were playing Martelly when Aristide was brought back. And Martelly was a Duvalierist who hated Aristide, and all his songs he kept saying Lavalas, that's the movement against democracy, against dictatorship. He kept saying Lavalas is black, it's ugly, it's this. That was his music. And the U.S. military that came into Haiti, that's all they played. And when I got to Haiti, and I had just come from the music industry and I was dealing with all of this, gangster rap that I thought was, we needed to transform what was going on in the community and not kind of live at that level. And I got to Haiti and it was in a different level. It was Martelly's music. It was that carnival music. It was that misogynist music. It was that anti-women music. It was all there. They groomed this man. The UN made him Goodwill Ambassador for AIDS. They funded his foundation. And by 2010, after the earthquake, he was running for president. And everybody thought it was a joke because this guy is on stage with a thong. But Bill and Hillary Clinton.
Stage with the thong. So your president was on stage with a thong.
With a thong. He was a carnival king. He was like a joke. This is who they made president of Haiti. During the earthquake.
During the earthquake. During when you needed the most, you needed good leadership. Your people needed, you really needed something.
Naomi Klein calls it the shock doctrine. It's like when you're so shocked and they want something. We did not think that going to election was the biggest thing at that time, doing that earthquake, because right after the earthquake, the UN Nepalese soldiers brought in cholera into Haiti. Haiti had never had cholera before. And here I was, you know, like desperate trying to save people. All we needed was clean water. We were appealing to these people with these billions of dollars, you know, let's give people.
How much of that $13 billion could have created clean water for you?
Clean water, okay? So we got cholera, and the earthquake was January 2010. The cholera was October 2010, and everybody didn't understand what was going on. Why 1,500 people were dying in one day? Why they were having, you know. And I just want one little anecdote with that before I go back to what they did with the elections. I have this big network, but a lot of the people that I have are afraid to talk. So they will come and they'll say something to me, but they don't want me to put their names out. So someone very, very powerful in the United States was at a USAID meeting doing that when the cholera hit Haiti. Now, remember, at that time, Bill Clinton was UN Special Envoy for Haiti in the UN. Mrs. Clinton was Secretary of State, 2010. Cholera hits Haiti. The UN covers it up and says it's because Haiti's dirty, that it's not theirs. But someone who was at one of their meetings said that they ordered 200,000 body bags. So they expected 200,000 people to die. Okay. And that person called me, covertly called me and said, Ezeli, I know you're the one, because I was the only one out here saying they're going to, that Haiti never had cholera, that the DNA of this cholera is from South Asia, all of that stuff. But because we're supposed to be, they did the same thing with AIDS, right? Haiti didn't have AIDS. The tourists, they brought AIDS to Haiti in the 80s, and then they capitalized on it. The same way with the cholera. They brought cholera to Haiti, and then they capitalized it. How did they capitalize on it? Bill Clinton decided we needed cholera vaccines instead of clean water. They paid $40 million a year for the last 3 years, since 7 years, they've been paying at least, okay? Because I stopped looking at it after a while. But for the first 3 years, $40 million a year to give people cholera vaccines.
Did it work?
No. And we don't know what was in that cholera vaccine because there is an epidemic of cervical cancer for Haitian women in Haiti because they experiment on us so much. So, and you know, their ultimate goal is that they want to depopulate the world of 7 billion people and leave 500 million. That's what their memorandum says. And they want the depopulation in Haiti because they just want the land. So what did Bill and Hillary Clinton do that was really heinous? And of course, you know, as a lawyer, I say Obama because he is the respondent superior, right? Because that's his employee. She was working under him, okay? So what's her name? A Negro named Cheryl Mills, who started out as the counsel for impeachment way back in the day, a Clintonite. She would come into Haiti all the time during the earthquake, during that time, and she was the one that literally the Haiti Electoral Council gave her one result. They had a primary. They said Mateli came in third. And Cheryl Mills, who was the consigliere for Hillary Clinton, worked with the OAS and gave us another result. So they put him in the runoffs when he wasn't supposed to be in the runoffs. Of course, I was saying this, but it wasn't until WikiLeaks came out and there was letters that people believed us. So that's the thing, right? So we talk about the non-colonial narrative. We say what we see. Like we have more than 2% forest cover, right? But I'm not a geologist, right? It'll take, you know, but it took that guy, his name is Peter Wempler, 10 years. He went to Haiti. He's like, what are they talking about? He's, you know, and he actually wrote and said, no, Haiti had 32% cover. That's the point. A lot of white folks and foreign folks will go to Haiti and they know, they see it as a cash cow. They have no morality. So instead of coming back like Peter Wimpler did and saying, this is wrong. I'm a geologist. I know forest cover. Somebody's got this wrong. Let me say something. No, they'll come back home, create a non-for-profit, and then raise money for trees. And nobody will know the difference. And that's their living expenses for the economics recession. That's the global economics recession going on. But so what Obama did to us was give us Clinton and Undersecretary Clinton while we were suffering this earthquake, while we were suffering the indignities of this charity they're supposed to be raising for us that probably Haitians in Brooklyn say paid for Chelsea Clinton's wedding. While all that was happening, they were conniving to amend the Haitian Constitution so we no longer have direct rule, give extraction companies access to our gold belt, create deep water ports for the local Haiti oligarchs are foreigners. They come from the Middle East. They come from Syria, Lebanon, and they are Jewish and Arab. Arab is a culture, but they're Arab Jews. And they are in Haiti. They came to Haiti back after World War II when, doing that Balfour Agreement. What's the other one? Sykes-Picot. Syria was divided. Iraq was divided. And so these folks came to Haiti. We gave them asylum because they were running from unrest there. And today, they are the ones who own the ports in Haiti. They are Middle Eastern. They're not connected to the Haitian Revolution. They didn't fight for this land. This land that my parents had to pay three times for. Because when Haiti won its independence, in order for France to recognize us, they forced us to pay an independence debt. It began what the IMF and the World Bank does now, which is keep you in constant debt. Well, it began in Haiti. It took us 122 years to pay that debt from 1825 to 1947. In 1947, we paid that slave trade debt back to the United States of America because in 1915, they had refinanced it from France because of the Monroe Doctrine. They wanted the French and the Europeans out of their backyard. So Haiti paid and paid and paid to France that independent debt. And I'll tell you how extortionist that independent debt is. Okay, so we came. Africans were enslaved into the Americas. The first place wasn't in America; it was in Haiti. And it was in 1503. 300 years of slavery. That's what my ancestors kind of, you know, paid, right? And then they had a 13-year war where half the population died, half the black population died during that 13-year war of revolution. And that was in 1791 to 1804. We won our independence in 1804. But Napoleon that we beat was doing his empire thing. And so he had intended to take over the United States. He had sent in a second armada of 20,000 troops into Louisiana, which they owned, because he didn't think that the Haitians were going to win. We were barefoot, no arms. The only arms we had was the arms that we took from the soldiers that we beat. The Louisiana Purchase, the independence debt that Haiti had to pay was 10 times the amount of the Louisiana Purchase. That means Haiti's smaller than Rhode Island. The Louisiana Purchase created about 13 American states, double the size of the United States. And Jefferson paid Napoleon 150 million francs for it. I'm sorry. 15 million francs for it. We paid 150. 10 times what. So that independence debt is one of the reasons why they wanted to get rid of Aristide, because in 2004, it was our bicentennial, and Aristide, and at that time, the United States was squeezing Haiti. Besides training death squads in nearby Dominican Republic, they had the NGOs in. They were not funding humanitarian, anything humanitarian in Haiti. They were just funding NGOs. So they were not funding like anything that Aristide wanted, that nothing to that government. And they were squeezing the price of oil, the price of everything, so that the people were dissatisfied with their government. That, you know, that's how they do it. So Aristide said, you know, just give us back the independence debt. And, we don't need because we earned our, this is not reparation, this is restitution, right? That was one of the reasons, for the first time in 200 years, France put its boots in Haiti in 2004. And when they came in, this is how vengeful these people are. They named their mission the Wauchambeau mission, because Haiti had beaten their general and his name was Wauchambeau. And so last 13 years, the revenge of these folks has been going on in Haiti. And in that revenge, in 2010, they put in a sexist, gross carnival king who did not win the election, even with all the manipulation. But Cheryl Mills, this black woman who was the deputy secretary, you know, staff member of Mrs. Clinton, worked to just bring us this man. Today, one of the reasons why I went into InfoWars and all these places after Donald Trump said that he was going to, he was going to do better for Haiti than the Clintons. I said, thank you. You know, we welcome it. Was because of all of these egregious things that Hillary and Bill Clinton did at a time when we were traumatized and we were dealing with death. To date, the cholera has killed, their official figures is 10,000 people. And they say that 1 million people have been sick by cholera since 2010. Our figures is that more than 30,000 Haitians have died, and probably 2-3 million Haitians have been made sick by this.
How much money of that $13 billion would have been needed to clean up that water and to keep this from being a problem?
The UN has a program right now, and they said they need $2 billion to clean up the problem.
So if the Clintons wouldn't not have stolen all that money and used $2 billion of it, they could have taken care of your issue.
Absolutely. Yeah, their issue. They brought it in.
Wow. So, in closing, what do the people think of the Clintons and the United States? Well, the Clintons first, and then the United States. We got to separate the Clintons and some of this stuff from the average U.S. citizen, because the U.S. citizen sent them a lot of money to help you guys. But can you just close with that?
Yeah. Okay. So I think it's something like 1 out of 2 of every, you know, American family sent money to Haiti, to the Red Cross. And the only thing I can say to those families is that when you give aid to Haiti is the Republic of NGOs. So before the earthquake, we had 10,000. After the earthquake, we had almost 42,000 NGOs. So you have 42,000 NGOs, and Haiti doesn't have clean water. And they just moved around the displaced people. So essentially, there's a city called Canaan that has about 450,000 tent people still in it right now, 7 years later. Okay, So we just want them to leave. We want the UN. The UN is a criminal organization, like I said, from Lumumba to Aristide. The way it works is that the small countries votes are blackmailed or taken by the big countries. The United States takes it, right? So essentially, the UN is a criminal organization. It's like the Bretton Woods organization. It's created. It's a big Ponzi scheme. Most of the money it raised never really goes to what it says it's going to. It really just perpetuates its bureaucracy. A couple of things I like people to think about. Number one, Haitians are very politically aware. Our school class is the brainwashed ones, right? The schooled Haitians, you know, they just want a job. They don't care. They want a job. They want to work for the UN because it's a socially hot, big thing. But the Haitians on the streets, you know, they're so innocent. They couldn't even conceive about some of the things that the United States is doing to them. They see the United States as this space where great things happened. You know, they're just lovely people. I would like to see more people who are not predators just go to Haiti and what you see, write about it. Not the stuff that the mass media writes in order to herd you, and because it perpetuates, the NGOs perpetuates themselves because they need crisis to exist. So they'll constantly perpetuate a crisis. And they do it in so various ways. Geoengineering, the last thing we had, Hurricane Matthew, totally geoengineering. And they did it at a space where we had the most fruit trees. People were living well. There was no NGO there. But they needed to, they want foreigners to be able to. Haitians are not used to foreigners in certain spaces because they've been there for 200 years. They've been isolated. Immigration doesn't allow them to go anywhere. So, but now they do these hurricanes, they do these earthquakes, and they have all these NGOs there. So now we've become used to seeing foreigners. And so Haitians have lost control of their society in so many different ways. What I do at the Free Haiti Movement is I write about the colonial narrative. I mean, way before they called it fake news, I called it the colonial narrative. And it's so interesting that, like, it happened so quickly. For 20, 25 years I've been working, and all of a sudden, Trump comes into power, and there's this historic change. It's like people hear when I say, this is what the Clintons did, when for years they wouldn't hear me.
They were in a trance.
It's so strange. And it's the alt right. And it's not the Democratic Party. Like I said, they're just this war party. They just want to go to war. They just want to fool the working class again and make as if the duopoly is going to do anything, that the establishment is going to do anything for people. You know, I am a member of two bars. My oath is to uphold the U.S. Constitution. That's what I do, like, professionally, right? Internationally, I work in Haiti as a human rights lawyer. What I see my job is to uphold, you know, the sovereignty of people, the human rights of people. And I can't do my job because the duopoly and the deep state has destroyed the U.S. Constitution, or the role of lawyers as the arbiters, the people that would go in and help someone who is being wronged and so forth. Right now, you know, I couldn't bring the cholera case because they told me the UN was too big. Right. Just like they told Americans, you know, the banking industry is just too big to fail. That is so not legal. There is no. So we have to go back to a situation where you can bust these monopolies, because it's not free trade, it's monopoly. These companies have monopolies over our entire society. So for me, I think a couple of things that people can do. Number one, it's the Haitians are just want to live free. They are not a security threat to the United States. The people who are the people the United States is bringing into Haiti, like these Syrians or like these. And I hate to say that. I don't mean the whole entire Syrian population. I'm talking right now about the 13 mercenary families in Haiti who are the overlords who control 98% of the economics in Haiti. So that whatever trickle down comes from aid, it goes to these mercenary families. And nothing gets to these masses that really need it, except through these private NGOs that are doing organ trafficking, human trafficking. We have this, orphanage hoax. Haiti has these orphanages, but the children have families. They're just a mill for raising money.
Wasn't Clinton involved in something where they were trying to bring out people? They said the kids were orphans, but they really weren't. They had families, and this woman was stopped, and then Clinton actually got her off, and she was really a child trafficker.
Yes. Her name is Laura Silsby, and It was also in 2000 and 2010, right after the earthquake. She first tried to take out 40 people and this lone Haitian policeman. And I was in Haiti there then. This lone Haiti policeman stopped her. She had a bus filled with children right after the earthquake. And she was going to bring them to Dominican Republic, put them in a hotel, and then I guess the intention was to sell them for like $10,000 each. The little policeman stopped her, and she said she had papers, and said no, you can't do this. And the next day she did it again. She took She took 33 children, and they got her at the border, and her and like 10 other, there were 10 of them from Idaho. New Children Refuge, I think, was the name of the space. They put her in Haitian prison. At that time, Hillary Clinton had just become Secretary of State under Obama. Bill Clinton was at the UN, and Bill Clinton and Hillary both worked to get off Laura Silsby. At that time, like I said, my head was totally in different spaces. I was working at that time to stop adoptions altogether. So that's what was my focus, because this is like how they were human trafficking people, right? Saying they're adopting. So when this case happened, I just looked at it as Hillary Clinton was getting their off, like Americans do that. I mean, that's the job of the Secretary of State, right? Because you're overseas and you get into trouble. It just never really, it wasn't until the Podesta emails that I realized how deep this was. I knew nothing about spirit cooking, drink. I do call them vampires, but now I know it's literal. They literally drink children's blood that are adrenalized. But anyways, essentially this woman was, convicted of child trafficking in Haiti. Her other cohorts were released. She was convicted, Laura Silsby. But someone in power, Secretary of State Clinton, got her off, and then she ended up back in the United States. And when all that research started happening with Pedogate, I found out that she changed her name, and she is now working for Amber Alert.
What's her new name?
Yeah, she has a new name. I can't remember what it is, but
I'll put it up in the title if you can remember. I'll put it a little not in the title, in the words right here.
Yeah. Okay.
On the video.
Yeah. What really scared me about all of that, I represented many Haitian children who were being sodomized by charity workers.
Oh God.
Okay. And the The very, very first case was Douglas Prelitz. You guys can look it up. But just to end, Haitians just want to live free. Just like everyone else, just like Americans, all the Americans who stood up for Donald Trump, I really think that there was no choice in that election. I'm anti-war. I'm pro-people. I don't think profit should be so above people that you're going to hoard resources and kill people for it, and start wars and let people die and do vaccinations that mean nothing. So for me, the UN is about to leave Haiti, this particular mission. I have online just to help people understand what's going on, and only because I know that as a lawyer, I can't go to court. I don't have the resources. I'm a very small organization. Have a petition online that if people wanted to sign it, I'd really appreciate it. It's a petition that says no to UN rape of Haitian children, because the UN has created brothels, sex rings, and have been raping children in exchange for giving them the food that they're supposed to be giving that to them. In exchange for that, they require sex. And we have UN raping 6-year-olds, 8-year-olds, 12-year-olds. There's an Al Jazeera interview out there where this young girl, AP says that, she didn't even have breasts. And she was having sex, with UN soldiers. That's how they do the trafficking too. The private military contractors, they fly into Haiti. I won't say names, but you all know who they are. They carry our children out. They carry out the organs. And right now there's a group called HISL, Israeli Homeland Security, that was given a border security contract, $50 million for land, air, and sea. Those are the type of people that Haitians have nothing to do with, but that Michel Martelly signs these contracts that we're now obligated. They are supposed to control our borders. They're Israeli mercenaries. And we want them, we want every signed agreement that came under Michel Martelly and this new president, who's an accused money launderer, and this parliament. Many of them are known drug dealers, to be gone, and for civility to reign, for decency to reign, and for the United States, the biggest power on the planet, to be hurting a country that has no defenses. It's very sad and amoral. And we're talking about not Americans. I mean, the American public is prey to this.
Well, we gave you $2 for every, every other American gave you money,
yeah,
right?
Every other American.
So one out of two Americans. So Americans care.
The American people are prey to all of this. They believe when they gave that money to Red Cross, it was going to go to doing something for Haitians. They believe when they gave that money to, Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton and all these people, that it was going to do something for us, that at least maybe we would have clean water. I also have I had to create a clean water project. So if you go to my Esli Danta YouTube channel, you see that we have a fundraiser for the we give clean water. It's a very small, tiny project. And Hillary and Bill Clinton tried to destroy that project too, but that's another story.
If you can give me all the contact information, and I'll put it up there and on the show page and on the video, so people know how to get hold of you, and we can go from there.
Yes, thank you. I will.
Thank you so much for joining. I could talk to you for hours. I unfortunately only have so much airtime, but I'd love to give you more. So maybe we can set up another time to talk about some of the specifics that are going on.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Sarah, for having me. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Take care.
And that's all we have for today, folks. I want to thank you for listening to this whole episode. And I hope you can do your part and support the cause of people around the world being treated as humans, and that we treat every human being on the planet with love and respect. So on that note, I hope you have an amazing day and amazing week.